Hello, and welcome to this, the 19th episode in my podcast series, The Parson and the Songmen, as I continue my story about the Reverend Sabine Baring Gould, the Victorian folk song collecting parson of West Devon. Sabine's uncle, the Reverend Charles Baring Gould, who had been the parson of St Peter's Church, Lew Trenchard, died in February 1881. Sabine was then able to nominate himself as rector of Lew Trenchard, and in June of that year, Sabine was instituted to the living by the Bishop of Exeter. The move as the rector of the parish of East Mercy, Essex, to that of Lew Trenchard would be his last, and he would remain there as the rector for the next 43 years until his death in 1924. In podcast 16, I had said how Sabine had gambled with his inheritance, as his father Edward had threatened that if Sabine became ordained, he would lose the right to inherit Lew Trenchard. Well, ordained he was at York in 1864. And, folks, his gamble did pay off, as in 1881, he was now homeward bound to Devon, returning with his inheritance intact, as the firstborn son to be the squire of Lew Trenchard Manor and its parson. For the eldest son of a landholding family, this dual role was unusual, as I have mentioned in earlier podcasts. It was normal for the second son to take holy orders, not the first. Being both squire and parson, Sabine would be known as the Squarson, but locally, among the villagers, he would be the Maister. His homecoming to Lew Trenchard was not as smooth as he would have wished, as he tells us in his further reminiscences. As Lew House had been let, I was obliged to occupy the rectory, till the tenant's lease had expired. It was not possible for me to live there with my family till it had been fully overhauled and put in sanitary condition. Much painting and many repairs had to be effected, as nothing had been executed in that direction for something like 40 years. So that meant a delay until June of that year before his wife Grace and their children were able to join him down at Lew, by which time the improvements were completed. English village life for centuries had been centred around the manor house and the rectory. Sabine was not only now the rector of the parish of around 200 souls, but also the squire of his working estate of 3,000 acres. The manor house provided employment to the people of the parish. The village boys and men would be employed in various trades on the farms and the estate. The village girls would find work in the manor house. Now, as the rector, he was in the position to carry out three purposes in his life he had formed at the age of 17. The first, to restore St Peter's Church. The second, to improve the spiritual well-being of the parishioners. And the third, the restoration of Lew House. To finance the restoration of the church and the manor house, Sabine was fortunate to be able to fund this from the income he received as the author of a succession of very popular novels. As I mentioned in podcast 18, his highly acclaimed novel, Melhella, was compared to Charlotte Bronte's novel, Wuthering Heights. So this novel alone must have brought welcome funds to Sabine's building restoration fund. In addition to his novel writing, he was a prolific author of biographies. Books of devotion, travel, studies of antiquities, folklore, short stories, and articles on many subjects that interested him. His bibliography is in excess of 1,200 titles. And at one point in the 19th century, Sabine had more books in the British Library than any other author. His other interests were many and varied, with even time to be a justice of the peace. In addition to the walks he took to explore his beloved Dartmoor, making archaeological discoveries and writing about them, he was also a recognised antiquarian, archaeologist, ecclesiastical historian, hymn writer, theologian and folklorist. He was the first to collect the old folk songs and tunes of Devon, which he often said was the most important achievement of his life. This, folks, might seem an incredible statement considering all the other interests and achievements he had. But if he had not collected these songs, some of which he termed as being unfit for Christian ears to hear or Christian lips to utter, then in all probability they would have been lost forever. And it is sad to say that more than likely no one would even have missed them. This then, is my opinion, is where Sabine saw them as much more than just old folk songs, as he often said. They were from the mouths of the people. His was a record of songs and their music that had passed through the ages of a small part of rural England. Now for a song from his collection that I think fits the situation Sabine found himself in, as he had been moving from parish to parish for several years, not seeming to settle. And this is The Gypsy. It's another song from Sam Foam. He was the singer from Mary Tavy, Devon. He told Sabine that as a little boy, he was taught this song by an old lady who every day he would bring milk to. This is about 1830, folks. For this errand, she would pay Sam by singing ballads to him. This song, so far in my research, does not appear in any other English folk song collection. It's another song that I identify as being unique to Devon. And date-wise, if Sam was a young boy back in 1830, then the song could well predate the time of Napoleon. Hello, I'm in the Tidball household. John and Kate Tidball have played tunes on podcasts previously, and they have accompanied me on some of the songs I've sung. But today, I'm with their son, Rowan. Rowan plays the clarinet, and he is studying it at the Royal Birmingham Conservatoire. So, Rowan, tell me about the clarinet.
Mainly a classical instrument you'd expect to find in repertoire from about Mozart onwards. It's not entirely associated with folk, although we found it on the cover of Sir Bean Baring Gould's country song, A Garland of Country Song.
That's right.
It is an instrument that you would really, if not in classical, associate with gypsy jazz. And this song that we're going to play, called The Gypsy,
fits.
Fits, definitely. Yeah.
Very good. Do you want to play us a bit?
I could demonstrate the classical sound and possibly the gypsy sound in clarinet.
I'm sure the listeners would love it.
For guessing which is the classical and which is the gypsy jazz inspired piece of music there.
And this is my rendition of The Gypsy. Along the road as I take my way, with a hay, with a hoe, and a nonny-o, and a pretty brown wife, whom I love as my life, in a cart with an old white mare we go. We sing with glee, for our life is free, and never a man my course can stay. My whip I crack, give my wife a smack, on the lips, and she laughs, and she ne'er says nay. So I rattle along with my jocund song, and my heart is light, and my lungs are strong. All under a hedge by the forest edge, with a hay, with a hoe, and a nonny-o, I settle my tent upon business bent, to make free with the hare and the pheasant, oh. With a duck or goose, I never hold truce, but into the pot it must travel for me. That well we may sup, but we drink from the cup that is poured from the hand of nature free. I pay no taxes and charge no rent, with a hay and a hoe and a nonny-o, as I ramble along with my old tent that is home to my wife and me, hey-ho. And we travel the road at our own pace, stopping wherever our fancy takes. With no master to serve, our life is our own, and it's on the road we are free to roam. And I rattle along with my jocund song, and my heart is light, and my lungs are strong.
Thank you very much. That was Rowan Tidball.
My interest in the Reverend Gentleman comes from back in the 1960s, when I found a book which included songs from his collection, some of which I learned. Then over the years since then, I have learned more of his songs, and through research learned much more about the man himself. With now almost 60 years later, it has resulted in the production of this, the first podcast series of The Parson and the Songman. So, my dear downloading followers, it is here at podcast 19 where I will halt the story so far. There are two further podcasts following this one, each with a different content. Number 20 is a listing of books I have taken passages of information from and used in the podcasts. Number 21 is made up of a selection of songs from this, the first series, that its producer, John Tidball, has selected, and we hope you will enjoy listening to once more. I will be spending time in April researching material for pods in the second series, and it is to Cornwall, where the second series begins on the 1st of May. We will join Sabine and Freddie Bussell and their fruitful song hunting expeditions as they venture across the River Tamar. Finally, back in podcast 10, I talked of how the idea of producing the pods came about from the suggestion by my friend, Mr. David Burley, a Cornish gentleman, now living and working as a music teacher in Boston, America. In podcast number 10, I had said how amazed I was that up to that point, the podcasts were being downloaded on three continents, in nine countries, and in 87 cities, towns, and villages. All I had set out to do, with the help and guidance from the producer of the series, John Tidball, was to sing some of the songs, play a few tunes, and tell the story of Sabine's folk song collecting in Devon. Thinking that if I started the podcast in Devon with the story of how Sabine had started his collecting, it might get heard around Devon and maybe get listened to by folk enthusiasts in other parts of England. Now, as I finish writing podcast 19 of this series, I am even more amazed as the download figures I recorded in podcast 10 has now increased dramatically by doubling. Now downloads are taking place on six continents and in 20 countries, And it is no surprise that the UK has the most downloads. And then we travel into Central Europe, from Germany to Sweden and across to Romania, then south across the Mediterranean to Nigeria in Africa, then eastwards into Asia, Japan, Thailand and Malaysia, then due south to Australia. Across the Pacific Ocean to South America, from Argentina up into Brazil, then to Mexico and over the border into the United States, and finally up into Canada. So I did do what I set out to do by spreading the story of the folk songs the Reverend Sabine Baring-Gould had collected in Devon. But little did I think when this project The Parson and the Songmen started at the end of 2022 that my story of Sabine's song collecting in Devon would not only be heard in many parts of the UK, but around the world too. So now, dear downloading listeners, I am wondering how many more people around the world will be joining you in the second series and listening in as my story continues as we go into Cornwall, the land of myth and legend, with many descendants of the expats spread across the globe. I would like to thank you all, wherever you are in the world, for your interest in my story of the life of the Reverend Sabine Baring-Gould and his song collecting. I would like to wish you all well. And from the series producer John Tidball and me, Mike Bosworth. Till next time, in pod number 20 in 2 weeks' time, I wish you well. Bye-bye.